For instance, the architectural brilliance of the Hreni builders is manifest in the keeps that the high nobility construct. Hreni fashion sense, suits for gentlemen, gowns for ladies, is another thing the Lord Ruler decided to appropriate. I suspect that despite his hatred of the Hreni people, of whom Elendi was one, Rashik had a deep-seated envy of them as well. The Terrace of the time were pastoral herdsmen, the Hreni cultured cosmopolitans. However ironic, it is logical that Rashik's new empire would mimic the high culture of the people he hated. 26. Spook stood in his little one-room lair, a room that was, of course, illegal. The citizen forbade such places, places where a man could live unaccounted, unwatched. Fortunately, forbidding such places didn't eliminate them. It only made them more expensive. Spook was lucky. He barely remembered leaping from the burning building, clutching 6 alimentic vials, coughing and bleeding. He didn't at all remember making it back to his lair. He should probably be dead. Even surviving the fires, he should have been sold out, if the proprietor of his little illegal inn had realized who Spook was and what he'd escaped, the promise of reward would undoubtedly have been irresistible. But Spook had survived. Perhaps the other thieves in the lair thought he had been on the wrong side of a robbery, or perhaps they simply didn't care. Either way, he was able to stand in front of the room's small mirror, shirt off, looking in wonder at his wound. "I'm alive," he thought. "And I feel pretty good." He stretched, rolling his arm in its socket. The wound hurt far less than it should have. In the very dim light, he was able to see the cut, scabbed over and healing. Pewter burned in his stomach, a beautiful complement to the familiar flame of tin. He was something that shouldn't exist. In Alamancy, people either had just one of the 8 basic powers, or they had all 14 powers. One or all. Never 2. Yet Spook had tried to burn other metals without success. Somehow, he had been given pewter alone to complement his tin. Amazing as that was, it was overshadowed by a greater wonder. He had seen Kelsier's spirit. The survivor had returned and had showed himself to Spook. Spook had no idea how to react to that event. He wasn't particularly religious, but, well, a dead man, one some called a god, had appeared to him and saved his life. He worried that it had been an hallucination. But if that were so, how had he gained the power of pewter? He shook his head, reaching for his bandages, but paused as something twinkled in the mirror's reflection. He stepped closer, relying, as always, upon starlight from outside to provide illumination. With his extreme tin senses, it was easy to see the bit of metal sticking from the skin in his shoulder, even though it only protruded a tiny fraction of an inch. "The tip of that man's sword," Spook realized, "the one that stabbed me. It broke. The end must have gotten embedded in my skin." He gritted his teeth, reaching to pull it free. "No," Kelsier said. "Leave it. It, like the wound you bear, is a sign of your survival." Spook started. He glanced about, but there was no apparition this time. Just the voice. Yet he was certain he'd heard it. "Kelsier?" he hesitantly asked. There was no response. "Am I going mad?" Spook wondered. "Or is it like the Church of the Survivor teaches?" Could it be that Kelsier had become something greater, something that watched over his followers? And if so, did Kelsier always watch him? That felt a little bit unsettling. However, if it brought him the power of pewter, then who was he to complain? Spook turned and put his shirt on, stretching his arm again. He needed more information. How long had he been delirious? What was Quellian doing? Had the others from the crew arrived yet? Taking his mind off of his strange visions for the moment, he slipped out of his room and onto the dark street. As Lair's went, his wasn't all that impressive, a room behind the hidden door in a slum alleyway wall. Still, it was better than living in one of the crowded shanties he passed as he made his way through the dark mist-covered city. The citizen liked to pretend that everything was perfect in his little utopia, but Spook had not been surprised to find that it had slums just like every other city he'd ever visited. There were many people in Urto who, for one reason or another, weren't fond of living in the parts of town where the citizen could keep watch on them. These had aggregated in a place known as the Harrows, a particularly cramped canal far from the main trenches. The Harrows was clogged with a disorderly mash of wood and cloth and bodies. Shacks leaned against shacks, buildings leaned precariously against earth and rock, and the entire mess piled on top of itself, creeping out the canal walls toward the dark sky above. Here and there, people slept under only a dirty sheet stretched between two bits of urban flotsam, their millennium-old fear of the mists giving way before simple necessity. Spook shuffled down the crowded canal. Some of the piles of half-buildings reached so high and wide that the sky narrowed to a mere crack far above, shining down its midnight light, too dim to be of use to any eyes but Spook's. Perhaps the chaos was why the citizen chose not to visit the Harrows, or perhaps he was simply waiting to clean them out until he had a better grip on his kingdom. Either way, his strict society, mixed with the poverty it was creating, made for a curiously open nighttime culture. The Lord Ruler had patrolled the streets. The citizen, however, preached that the mists were of Kelsier, and so could hardly forbid people to go out in them. Urto was the first place in Spook's experience where a person could walk down a street at midnight and find a small tavern open and serving drinks. He moved inside, cloak pulled tight. There was no proper bar, just a group of dirty men sitting around a dugout fire pit in the ground. Others sat on stools or boxes in the corners. Spook found an empty box and sat down. Then he closed his eyes and listened, filtering through the conversations.